You're now listening to the Flip Empire Show with Alex Pardo, episode 270.
Welcome to the Flip Empire Show, bringing you the interviews, strategies, and insights for smart real estate investors. Prepare to dive into the minds of real estate's heavy hitters and gain the cutting-edge expertise you need to scale and grow your real estate empire. Your success and freedom starts now with your host, Alex Pardo.
Hey, what's going on, guys? It's Alex here. And first, I want to start by saying Happy New Year. I hope 2018 was an amazing year for you. But in the spirit of not looking back and moving forward and looking forward, I'm wishing you the best, most prosperous, successful 2019 you could possibly have. I hope to be a small or a big part of your journey here, through the Flip Empire podcast show. And so, guys, I think this wasn't even planned, but I have just finished recording one of the most inspiring, jaw-dropping podcast episodes that I've been fortunate to be a part of, so this is episode 270, and I've had I'm so grateful, and I've had I'm filled with gratitude, I was going to say, for all the amazing experts and guests I've had on. But the gentleman I'm interviewing today is one of my closest friends, a guy by the name of Armando Cruz, somebody that I have known since I was in kindergarten. So roughly 33, 34 years that we have known each other, and we know each other's families. We've just shared pretty much everything with each other, just as far as we went to the same school, same university. And all these years we've remained friends, and he is, he's a successful investor. He's a successful entrepreneur. He's, I'm going to read to you just a portion of his bio, but I'm going to go a little deeper. And what I really want to share with you on this podcast, and I hope you stick through, is we just finished recording almost 2 hours of a podcast episode because he just finished completing one of the most physically and mentally enduring races of his entire life. He just completed a 100-mile race, 100 as in 100. And, in this particular episode, we talk about the story leading up to that story. And this is so important that you listen to this episode for you to get the most out of all the lessons learned, all the takeaways that he got from running this 100-mile race. And so, my boy Armando, one of my closest friends, a connoisseur of experiences, he's a husband, father. Obviously, he's an adventurer, best-selling author, ultra marathoner, lifestyle physical therapist, and legacy coach. And really, his sweet spot, his bread and butter, is helping growth-minded married men live happier, more connected, and fulfilled lives through coaching. His immersive coaching program that guides them to show up more powerfully in their marriage, in their health, and their business, to create a purposeful legacy. And it's really his unique approach that allows it to strip away the clutter, both internally and externally, that essentially stops men from showing up as the best version of themselves, not only for themselves, but for their family, for their business, for their legacy. He's a creator of the Cleanse and Renewal Program, the Modern Man Virtual Summit, and the Rich Man Experience. He's the co-owner of Cruise Country Fitness and Physical Therapy with his wife, Christian. And this guy is a beast and an animal in every sense of the word. He's climbed mountains. He's run over 50 miles in a day in the swamps filled with snakes, alligators, and everything you can imagine. He's lived out of his car, rollerbladed and surfed in hurricanes. But the biggest adventure for him has been being a father. And I know it's one of his greatest joys. He's a proud dad of three amazing kids, has been married to Christian for over 11 years now. And that's just a tip of the iceberg about who this guy is and what he means to me. This has been one of my most memorable podcasts that I've recorded, so much that we're breaking it up into two episodes. And so I encourage you to listen to Armando's story about perseverance, grit, determination, how it led him to have the audacity and the balls, pardon my French, to want to even decide to run and complete a 100-mile race. And so I want you to plug into this podcast episode and then make sure that you listen to episode 272, which is part two, which is actually, you know, starting from he began the race and what it took for him to complete that mentally, physically, how enduring and taxing it was on his body and on his mind and his family, and then how he came out better on the other end and what he learned. So with all that said, I'm grateful for you and I'm super excited to jump into this podcast. Mando, what is going on, my man?
What's going on, Alex?
How are you, buddy?
Pretty good, man.
So I'm excited for this podcast and from a lot of different angles. Number one, usually, as you know, man, we typically have real estate investors on the show. But I want people to know, they obviously just heard the introduction. You're an entrepreneur. You've been at this a long time. You've had a lot of ups. You've had a lot of downs. But I wanted to get you on here because I think there are so many valuable takeaways that, you know, having you and I having private conversations about what you just accomplished, it fascinates me and it inspires me on so many different levels. And so people heard in the introduction, you and I go back to, man, how long is it? Like 33, 34 years now? We've known each other since what? Yeah, kindergarten. We've known each other since we were 5 years old. And so you're one of my closest friends. You're probably the longest friendship I've ever had. Somebody who, you know me at my deepest, most intimate levels. Not that kind of intimacy, obviously. So I just want to be clear with what I'm saying here. But you know, you're like a brother from another mother. No, exactly. So you know, you're like a brother from another mother. We've shared a lot of ups and downs with each other, and you know, you've been by my side for so long, and I've always thought you were a complete nut. But a complete nut in like the most inspiring, positive way possible. Like, you have accomplished and done things I would never even dare to think to even do, much less actually do. And so having said that, I think we're cut from the same cloth. And that you set out to accomplish certain things that are just not in my wheelhouse, but I think we still challenge each other in a lot of different ways. Right. And so I did mention in the intro what we're going to be talking about, but I didn't feel like I was going to do it any justice. This 100-mile race that you just finished within the last, month?
And a half? In the last month,
Yeah, so at the time people are listening to this, maybe it's a couple of months past at this point, but when you told me several months ago that you set out to run a 100-mile race, first of all, I thought you were joking, but then I quickly remembered who you were and I said, this dude's not joking. He's basically going to set out to do 3.25 marathons at the same time, like in the same day to day and a half. And I'm like, dude, what's wrong with you? Number was my first thought. But I had no doubt you were going to accomplish it. And now I'm inspired by what you've shared with me. And I wanted to kind of get you on the show so that people can draw a lot of the takeaways that you got from this experience. I want people to be able to, benefit from. And then my goal here in this particular podcast, Mando, is to draw the parallels between being an entrepreneur and everything that comes with that, being the best version of yourself, and related to your story and what you learned about yourself, what you learned about life, about being an entrepreneur, a father, husband, etc. And so, with that said, why don't you, before we talk about this experience, give people some context as to, you know, your journey to get to this point, the point of deciding, okay, I want to do this 100-mile race for the first time in my life. How did you even get into running, to sports? You could talk a little bit about your business, but just to give people some context.
Yeah. First of all, thanks again for having me. This is fun because I know we've had some off the air conversations around this, and you know, I remember since we meet once a week and we kind of talk on the phone, I've during the lead up to this, I had to be on the phone while I was training in the middle of the day. Conversations. It was like, well, this is the only time I can squeeze it in. So that's when we did. So it's fun to be able to get to the other side of that, because as much as I'd like to believe that I was going to complete it and do everything I set out to do, there's always a chance that things don't always go the way it was. And with 100 miles, there's a lot that can go wrong. And let's take a step back. Growing up, middle school, high school, I played pretty much every single sport, considered the jack of all trades, master of none. until I got to running. And when in high school, my junior and senior year, like I found my niche in running. At the time, what I realized was that I enjoyed pushing myself in a way that made most people uncomfortable. And it had less to do with raw talent, but work that you were willing to put in. And so mm-hmm. to me, those odds played well in my favor because I could work hard. I wasn't always the most talented. And okay. so I ran in high school and then I ran in college. But, you know, as the 100 miles suggests, I kind of do things in extremes. And when I was in college, I was very much obsessed with running, that I would run twice a day, Monday through Saturday, and then Sunday I would run for 2 hours. So I was running 13 times in a week throughout college. And what I realized was, you know, to me, having a family and being married was something I've always said that I wanted, and it was something that was very important to me. And because I knew the obsessiveness that I tended to kind of fall into,
right,
I actually was afraid once I got married to continue training or to actually run. And so I actually stopped for a bit. I ran here and there, but nothing consistent, nothing that I would say, oh, I'm training for anything, because I was afraid that I would kind of cross the line and become obsessive about it. And that would be to the detriment of my relationship with my wife.
Got it.
And then later on my kids. And I share that to set the stage for inconsistency. I've stayed in shape, but not at this level of shape. And about, let's see, it was 500 and leading up to the race, 509 days before the race, I wanted more consistency in my life. And I set out to do 5 things every single day. The idea originally was just 30 days, see if I can do 30 days of 10 minutes of movement, 10 minutes of meditation. 30 breaths of meditation. It wasn't even 10 minutes. It's like okay. 2 minutes. Right? what else? Write 50 words every single day. Make a video every day and reach out to 3 people. And mm-hmm. sorry, 6 things. And read 5 pages in a book. Those were okay. 6 little habits that I decided that I wanted to start doing. And it started 509 days ago from the race.
So before you keep going, I just have a question or two. Were you at a point in your life where you just weren't satisfied, happy with the results? Sorry, I'm on Bird Road here. I got people flying by, so you might hear some traffic. But were you at a point in your life, Mondo, that you kind of like were at that fork in the road? You just weren't, were you not happy? Were you not content with where you were at, not fulfilled? What was it that got you to the point that said, okay, I need to change what I'm doing. And it's going to start with like 6 small incremental changes. And I'm just going to like focus on accomplishing these things every day for 30 days. I'm just going to set out to be consistent, just trying to like kind of peek inside your life at that time. Because I think people can really benefit from, you know, hearing not just your story that we're going to cover, but so many of us have challenges in our life. It could be health related. It could be business, financial, relationships. And I think nothing's going to change until you make a decision that needs right. to change. So what was it about what you were going through in your life that led you to, hey, these are the 6 things I want to focus on for the next 30 days and nothing else?
Consistency. I wanted, so there's something that I share with my clients that I think is will actually really help to transform the way I look at life and the way I look at my actions. And it's that, is there enough evidence based off your actions to convict you or to basically say that you are guilty of what you set out to do? And what I mean by that, because most people think of, you know, hey, if you're guilty, that's a bad thing. But in this case, I want to be guilty of it, right? So if what I set out to be was somebody who's healthy, somebody who's present in my kid's life, if somebody who's a person of faith, is there enough evidence because of the way I live my life that would point to say, yeah, this guy's on the path. Mm. He is guilty 100%. because this is the way he lives his life, and it's congruent with that. Okay. And so it's just kind of like that little tweak, that little spin that to me, I found myself not having enough evidence because I was very inconsistent with different areas in my life. So I basically set out to be like, okay, well, what do I want to create in my life? How do I want to grow? And I chose those six areas very much for very specific reasons. The meditation, I just wanted something that would put me at peace. The movement, just to start creating momentum in my life, whether it was some type of exercise, some type of stretching, some kind of movement. That's why I called it movement and not workouts. And it was just 10 minutes. The writing is because I suck at writing and I wanted to get better at it. And I wanted to become a better communicator. And I feel like because writing is so difficult, I find that when I come out on the other end, when I struggle through an article or a post that I'm going to put, I actually come out feeling clearer on my thoughts. So I said, well, then let me add this to my life. The video, I wanted to be a better communicator. And one of the ways that I know to do that is to be on as many stages as possible. Mm-hmm. But because family and my schedule doesn't permit for me to be on a stage every single day, I said, let me create my own stage. And so I decided that a video would be that platform. It's my opportunity to be able to communicate in a verbal way.
Okay, got it.
You know, the reading, same thing, just to kind of grow in that perspective.
And by the way, so people know, they probably heard, hopefully they didn't miss that you became an author. And so now, just to fill in some gaps, you became an author within the last couple of years. And so you're somebody that set out to write, I think you said 50 words a day because you wanted to become a better writer and better communicator. Right. And through that process, you became a best-selling author on Amazon. Right. So kudos to you, because that's another huge accomplishment. And we'll probably have a separate podcast just on the book, and we'll include in the show notes where people can go pick up the book on Amazon. But I just wanted to kind of like throw that in there, the power of focus and what you can accomplish when you decide to do so.
Yeah. And again, a little bit of clarity. So the number 509 days was actually the days I started running.
Running, correct. Right. So I just wanted to let people know that not only did you run every day for 509 days, but through this small little action of writing every day, you actually ended up deciding, hey, I want to become an author, best-selling author, and you did so.
Right. So and again, I messed up the days. So what I failed to say was the running started 509 days. I started doing these six habits a year before that. So it was actually 800 and some days that I had been doing all this stuff. So a year later, after doing those six habits without missing a day,
understood.
This is done every single day. I decided to add one more, which was run every single day for 30 days for 30 minutes. That's how it started. I didn't even start with thinking I was going to run 100 miles. And after I got to 30 days, I said, well, you know, let me round this up because 30 days is kind of in the middle of 4 weeks. I said, okay, let me make it to 5 weeks. And then I was like, well, how far can I take this? And then I said, well, what if I added 15 minutes every 5 weeks? So then I went from 30 to 45. And then 5 weeks later, I went to an hour. And I did that all the way up to 2 hours, where I was running a cumulative of 2 hours every single day for 5 weeks. And around that time, I was like, you know, I've never run this many days in a row. And I haven't been this consistent in a very long time. What if I could run 100 miles? What if I set out to do the 100-mile race, you know, which they have them, these ultra marathons. And so right about that time, I decided I'm going to go for it. And so
this was 100 days. Like, so you ran for 509 days straight. At what point in that process did you make the decision, I'm going to do this 100-mile race? Because I think,
almost a year into it.
Okay. So 365 days late, like, okay. So a year into it, you made the decision. And really this 100-mile race starts with the decision to actually do it, right? Like you mentally just have to commit, hey, I'm going to do it at this point.
Right. And look, the reason I share all that backstory is that because people only see the 100 miler and they only see, oh, you were running for 509 days. Is that healthy? Can you even do that? But what they failed to see was the 365 plus days that I was doing 10 minutes worth of some type of activity. Some days were running, some days were walking, some days was lifting, some days was just stretching, doing some yoga. But they forget that part, and most people want to start on the running part. I did that for an entire year before I even started the running thing.
I got it. And you know what's crazy is that, you know, I have so many conversations with other real estate investors, and I'm sure you have with other entrepreneurs, that they want to hit the fast forward button to where other people's success, especially on social media, you know, you see all the toys and you see the lifestyle and everything else. But what you don't see is the blood, sweat, and tears that that person most likely put in to get to that point. You know, it's, I forgot who said the quote, but it took me 10 years or 20 years to become an overnight success. And that's what I'm reminded of when to hear you, that people are only, we're going to get into the 100 mile race now, but it was all these days of consistent action that even gave you the ability to even decide you want to do that. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. And I use the term. So again, like if you want to put the aggregate, I was, by the time from when I started the six habits to when I raced the 100 miler, it was almost 900 days that I had been doing all this process. So you're talking about almost 3 years in this process. Again, people only see the, you know, the end part and they're like, oh, you're crazy. How do you do that? Yeah. But it was important for me. And by the way, I kept track of the days. That's why I know this. And each one of those habits have led to different things in my life. You mentioned the book. I almost failed English in high school. I almost failed English in college. I was in remedial English in college until I started, until I became an entrepreneur is when I started reading and I started writing more that I got better. And because I started doing those 50 words every single day, I built up the same way I built up on the running, the muscles to be able to actually write for long enough to be able to write the book. At the beginning, to put a post together, like a newsletter post, it would literally take me 3 to 4 hours. And I was exhausted. I couldn't mentally do anything else the rest of the day. Mm. We're talking about anywhere between 50 and 100 words.
Yeah.
And to think that from that practice, I was able to write my first book and it became a bestseller is mind blowing. The same way with this, I started with 10 minutes and almost 900 days later, I ran 100 miles.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of the story leading up to it. And I think that has just as much merit, if not more, than the 100 miler. Mm. It's kind of like, I'm a big proponent of, you know, people always talk about the destination of where you're going, but realize that the journey is a bigger part. 100%. You're going to spend more of your time on the journey. So if you don't embrace the journey and you don't make it something that you really are enjoying, you're going to be suffering for a lot longer than you're enjoying. So why not make the journey something that excites you, something that you feel aligned with, as opposed to feeling like, oh, it's just the grind. It's just the grind. And I personally hate that the idea of the hustle and grind mentality, because it really talks about it really focuses on the destination and not really the journey. And I think you're doing yourself a big disservice from that.
So really quick, man, before we pivot into the story of the 100 miles, which, you know, is fascinating to me. And I think people are going to just be kind of, it's really going to open their eyes on so many levels. There's so many questions I want to ask before I even get there, but I'm just going to focus on one or two. You talked about enjoying the journey, and that's something that I've struggled with in the past. And, you know, I've come a long way in realizing that the destination is just an endpoint. Once you get there, whatever that may look like, all you're going to do is set another destination point, and you might enjoy it for a little bit, but it comes and goes. So you have to trust the process and you have to enjoy the process. Is it as simple as just mentally saying, I choose to enjoy this journey and I choose to focus on the journey, not the destination? Or do you have to get creative and and or I should say, do you have to get creative and set up the journey in a way in which you're going to enjoy it? Because you're right. So many people talk about the grind and the hustle, and that has a negative connotation to it. But does it, number one, just start with a mental decision, that the attitude to say, hey, I'm going to enjoy this process, even though for real estate investors, that might involve hiring people, that it might involve taking phone calls and selling and certain things that maybe they don't like doing. But is right. it just, number one, starting with, hey, I choose to enjoy this, and number two, I'm going to create my environment and so I can enjoy it. Like, I'm going to go work from in front of the ocean, for example, or I'm going to set up my, what I do in environments that I enjoy.
So the quick, let me just put it in context here. Instead of thinking of saying to your mind, because your brain doesn't work this way. Your brain answers questions. It doesn't do well with statements. It does better with questions. If you ask the brain a question, it wants to answer it. And so instead of saying, oh, I'm going to enjoy this journey, ask yourself, how can I most enjoy this journey? Who do I have to become to enjoy this journey? What does this journey need to be in order for me to enjoy it? And then there's a step that you also have to take, where there's a certain level of embracing suffering and the suck. Mm-hmm. And that almost seems contradictory, but it, or contrary to what we're talking about. But in reality, if you look at the things that you value most, are the things that didn't come easy to you. Why? Because you had to put effort. You had to get creative in how to make that happen.
Yeah.
You don't get excited about a participation trophy. You get excited about championship trophies. That's right. It's a completely different feel.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So struggle, fail, be uncomfortable, but know why you're doing it, and create the path that most aligns with your values. And that's an important part. And let me give you a really like extreme and raw example. If I tell you, Alex, I can teach you at the end of the year to make $1 million. In other words, at the end of the year, you're going to have made $1 million. I have two ways of doing it. One way, we get to exploit women and children. The second way, we get to help women and children. At the end of the day, you're going to end up with $1 million. What do you want to do? Right?
Yeah.
I mean, I would assume, knowing you at this point, you want to help women.
Yeah, I think it's number two. Yeah. Right? Dude, I thought it was a rhetorical question. I didn't know. People are like listening, like, Alex, could jump in anytime now. Please say number two. Come on, man. You're killing me here.
So I think most of us would agree that number two would, I mean, at least for you and I know number two would be the option. Yes. And I would say, because I have faith in humanity, that number two would be everyone's option. And so what's different? You end up with $1 million, but how you do it is completely different.
And it matters. Absolutely.
Right. You helping women and children aligns with your values, the things that matter most to you. And it is in alignment with that. So all of a sudden it's like, okay, that's the choice I'm going to take. It doesn't mean that it's easy. It just means it aligns with your values. So you're more willing to go through the hardships and the suck. And again, just because you're enjoying the journey doesn't mean that the journey is easy, and there's not going to be days where it's going to feel like it's a grind, that it's going to feel like it's a suck. But it's with a bigger vision as to, okay, wait, this is why I'm doing it.
Yeah.
And this is a way that I can do it. Because there's nothing you can do. Like, you're going to have to go through it. And we'll talk about it in the race. I mean, there's going to be times, well, there's a lot of time in the race that it hurts. But there was a way to look at it so that the hurt didn't take center stage. The hurt was part of walking up to center stage and presenting what was really the more important thing here. So it's part of the two. Does that make sense? Does that answer your question?
It does. Absolutely. 100%. So let's jump into the race now. right? So you've made this decision, you know, about 365 days into you being consistent in running every single day. So your body was absolutely prepared for this, for the physical toll that, at least I would imagine, you know, you felt like you were, did you feel like your body was prepared for this leading into the race, or did you have any type of doubts or the devil on your shoulder, like the inner critic, whatever you want to call it?
Yes, I did have a little bit of doubt, partly because I wanted to be in better shape. And about a month before, I got sick for like 2 weeks, mm-hmm. which were the last 2 weeks of heavy training.
Okay.
So what I thought was going to be the pinnacle of my training got cut short. So from a confidence level and from a fitness perspective, I came in a little bit under where I would have liked to be.
Okay. But mentally, did you feel like you were, because I think, you know, you think of a 100-mile race, correct me if I'm wrong, you're the one that ran it. You suffered through this and you gained a lot of joy from it at the same time. I would think this is more mentally challenging than physically challenging, or just as much. Like I would think it's just as much a mental game as it is a physical game. Is that accurate, or am I just way off base here?
Yeah. To put it in context, when I crossed the line, after I kind of celebrated and was filled with emotion, like, yeah, you know, I was out there for almost 29 hours. So once I crossed the finish line, it was like, it's real. Like, I made it.
Yeah.
So just taking in that moment, I was like completely like had a huge adrenaline dump, and my whole body just like, wow, I finally made it. But then my thoughts right after that were, I can run this faster and I can run 200 and 300 miles.
Incredible.
Like that on that day, I mentally said, this is what it is. And I'll explain why as we go through the story, because I think the context for him. So you want to jump into the story?
Yeah. So let's do that. So race day comes. So this isn't just to set the stage. This is 100 miles from what I read on the website. It's roughly 80 miles or so of like just straight path. Then you got another.
Yeah. It's 90 miles on single track trails through the mountains in Alabama.
Okay.
It's about 6 miles of dirt roads, and the last 4 miles are on pavement, which you come out of the trails and basically you run on the road all the way to a track and you finish on a track. That's why it's on pavement, because you have to get from the trail to the track.
Okay, got it. And how many people? I think it's roughly 300 people raced.
Yeah, just under 300 raced and only 168 finished.
Wow. Okay. And by the way, that's an important distinction because of the aid stations, which we're going to talk about, as you tell your story here. So yeah. Race day comes. I want to kind of start with the fact that there was a decision you had to make: sleep in a hotel or camp out at the starting line. So start there, because when you told me that, and when I heard that part of the story, I was like, wow, that's really interesting that you would think you'd want the comforts of a bed as you are about to embark on 20 plus, 30 plus hours of just insane physical, you know, this race, this 100 miles. But you, knowing you, you decided to camp out at the starting line. Talk to me about that process, and then we'll jump into the race.
So there are two things. For me, I love nature, right? So to me, being part of nature was part of me prepping to be in nature for that amount of time.
Okay.
Then there was a very important logistical reason why. We had driven the races on Saturday. We drove Friday morning starting at 3 a.m. from Miami all the way to Orlando, to Alabama. Mm-hmm. It took us about 13 hours. Okay. So we had been driving all day. We got up at 3 a.m. Now, this is a point-to-point race, meaning it starts in one city and 100 miles later, you're in another city. Mm-hmm. That's where it ends. So where we finished, that's where all the hotels were. That's where all the people were staying. But it was an hour and a half drive to the start.
Got it.
And the last thing I wanted to do was get up at 3 a.m. drive an hour and a half to get to the start line, which we were very happy we did, because when we drove up there at night, we got lost multiple times because they're country roads and the signs don't always say what they're supposed to say. And so we had a lot of trouble finding it. And yeah. So I wanted to avoid the stress of having to get there and finding parking and then rushing out of the car. So we camped literally on the starting line. And I say we, yeah. use my father, my wife, a friend, and my 9-year-old.
Okay. And by the way, I'm glad you introduced them, because for people don't know, because they haven't heard your story, but your family and your crew, which you're going to talk about here shortly, they're a huge part of this story. Right. And I think that's one of the biggest takeaways that you shared with me, is that this race wasn't about me. It was just as much about my support system and the people around me, my family, my crew, et cetera. And so I just want to kind of seed that thought, for people, because that's, your journey as an entrepreneur, your journey as just a human being and be trying to become the best version of yourself, it's not about you. It's about the people around you, your support system, your ecosystem, right? So, okay.
That's a great point. I want to make a slight tangent here, because I remember it was 2005. I was finishing up one of my internships as a physical therapist. And I remember you got on a call. You and I were on a phone call. He's like, "Hey, I just started my own business." And I was like, "Awesome." And he's like, "Oh, I started an LLC." And I was like, "What did you do for that? Like, was it hard?" And you're like, "No." And I remember within a few weeks, I said, "Screw it, I'm starting my own business." Like, you literally, when you called me and you told me that and you kind of walked me through the process, you helped me start my business as I was finishing up school. And this goes to show, again, who are the people you're surrounding yourself with, right? Mm-hmm. Other than that, everyone else had a job in my life.
Yeah.
So when we had that conversation, I was like, well, friggin', if Alex got a corporation, I'm going to get one too.
You're basically thinking, Alex isn't the sharpest tool in the shed. If he can do this, I know I can do this.
All right. So back to the race. So we get up in the morning. Like, it was cold. It was cold. Like, my son was, I felt so bad for him. He was freezing. That, luckily, my dad is short, and my dad's clothes on, and he slept in my dad's like ski jacket and everything. Again, guys, we're coming from Miami. This is in Alabama. It's just under 40 degrees.
Yeah.
And we're sleeping outside.
So for people that are not Miamians, if that's even a word, 40 degrees is like, that's like 0 degrees to us. You know what I mean? So like, for most people, 40 might not be that cold. For us, it's like 0 degrees.
So I felt bad. He was so cold. So we wrapped him up and, we put him in a sleeping bag. Plus, he was exhausted. It was a long, long, long day. Morning, I wake up. Everyone is still sleeping. I still try to keep my streak alive with doing my video. So the morning of the race, I'm still thinking of keeping my streak alive. I wrote a little post. I did my meditation. I didn't really have to do... I did some of my movement stuff. I didn't really have to do the run because I was going to be running for the next 2 days.
Yeah, right.
And I did a little video and I read. I wanted to keep routines the same. So I got up earlier than everybody else. I got ready. I wanted to be in the peace of the day.
And what time did you wake up?
The race started at 7. I probably woke up at 5:30.
Okay, so you woke up at 5:30. And by the way, I don't want to keep interrupting your story here because I do want you to get into a flow with it. For me, I just took something valuable away from what you just shared. You would have every logical reason or excuse, however you want to think about it, to not follow through with your commitment hundreds and hundreds of days ago, because you're about to endure on the most physically challenging race of your life, 100 miles. You would think that you just want all focus and energy on that. And you got your family with you. Your son just endured a freezing night, the poor kid, like, you have a lot of people that have sacrificed for you to get to this point, right? But yet you're so committed to being consistent that despite the fact you were about to endure and 20 to 30 plus hours at that point, you didn't know how long of just right. physical, this race, you said, no, screw it. I'm going to do that. For me, I think of that and I'm always going to think of that because whenever I want to not follow through on something for the stupidest of reasons, I'm going to think of you. And so I just wanted to kind of throw that out there. And I think people can really draw from that as well.
That's all for this episode of the Flip Empire Show. But we have you covered with even more expertise and resources on our website. Text EMPIRE to 67076 or head over to flipempire.com to join the newsletter and gain free instant access to our video module training course called 5 Ways to Scale Your Real Estate Wholesaling Business to 6 Figures in 6 Months or Less. For more interviews, strategies, and insights for the smart real estate investor, we'll catch you next time here on the Flip Empire Show.